You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the last hour of the Political Cesspool before the 4th of July. It's Saturday, July the 2nd, and we're here live tonight this holiday weekend. We're here for you every week, ladies and gentlemen. We love you, and we're here to fight for you and to serve as your proxy in the political process and in the court of public opinion. I'm James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Still with me, we were going to have Winston Smith with a special guest, a candidate for Congress, and that had to be bumped to next week at the last minute, so we're going to try to work that in next week's show, and since that occurred, Eddie's going to be with me for this hour. I love that song, My Country Tis of Thee. That is a great patriotic hymn. I realize that it's incredibly difficult for knowledgeable Americans to get excited and celebrate anything associated with modern-day America, because the government of this country and its lapdogs in the media now stand for absolutely everything that is ugly and vile. And American flags are everywhere this weekend. I saw a guy pull out in front of me at a red light. He had a bunch of lawn equipment. It was a white working class guy. He had a huge American flag, and I just don't understand it. Because, listen, I'm not just saying this. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I'm not proud to be an American because my guy lost the last presidential election. It's so much deeper than that. It's so much deeper than that. For me, I see the flag, and it just does not. We actually talked about this at Memorial Day. Most of the members of our staff, most of the staff of this show are ex-members of the armed forces. Eddie the Bombardier Miller himself, a couple of tours in Vietnam. He was a combat medic. He put it all on the line, as did Winston Smith, as did Art Frith, as did Scoop and others. So there's valor there, there's gallantry, but this country, that flag, America, as envisioned by the Founding Fathers, ceased to exist after 1865. And that America was dead after 1865. Once the Confederacy lost, America, as envisioned by the Founding Fathers, ceased to exist. But because America was still such a racially homogenous nation, it was still a very good place to live all the way up until past the 1960s. In 1950s, America, even though from a governmental level, the institutions were being turned against us, America may have even reached its apex in the 1950s in many ways, culturally speaking. And then, of course, it just has had a precipitous decline since then. I see the American flag. I see a flag that sanctions the murder of tens of millions of babies. I see a flag that wants cross-dressing men to go to the bathroom for little girls, that sanctions sodomite marriage. If you are a white heterosexual male Christian, particularly from the South, that flag hates you. That's not our government. It's their government. And just this week, I mean, just now, breaking news off CNN, no charges filed against Hillary Clinton. This is just a criminally corrupt government. A flag is just a flag. I don't hate the American flag. It's a flag that subjugated my people. It's a flag that stands for so much degeneracy and abomination. The government is what needs to be replaced. The flag can reclaim it. Old glory can be glorious again under a righteous, God-fearing government. But right now, this government, I want to be proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Southerner. I'm proud to be a Tennessean. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm not proud of America, though. There's nothing to be proud about in America. America's a disgusting place right now because of our government. The American people are okay, some of them. Not as many as they used to be. But this very quickly, Eddie, for just talking about Hillary Clinton. Now, she's not going to face trial.
That's
breaking news as of this a few minutes ago.
I mean, what more could a criminal do? This woman Go and read the mysterious death of Vince Foster. Read the number of murders, out-and-out murders that are connected to Bill and Hillary. I mean, it's hundreds of them. And it's not just strangers they kill. James, it's documented. People that they grew up with from almost the cradle. I mean, Bill Clinton went to school with, like, Vince Foster from day
all right,
one.
All right, but look, I mean, that's all been covered, yeah. Allegedly. They had a hand in that. But look,
relations mean nothing to these people. They're such criminals. And they get by with it, James.
It's criminally corrupt. That's one thing.
But we this can't 4th get by of July with anything. Weekend.
No, that's right. Oh, well, no, when we try to have a peaceful, family-friendly Confederate flag rally at Nathan Bedford Forest Park, the Homeland Security Department's got down and breathing down.
Harass y'all.
All right, so, but and then the same weekend on the eve of 4th of July, the Pentagon proudly proclaims they are embracing transgendered soldiers. I mean, sure, why not? The purpose of the military isn't to win anymore. The purpose of NASA isn't to explore space. These are just other institutions that they are using to enforce political correctness. The purpose of universities isn't to educate the young. Every institution in our society has been captured and reorganized around catering to the demands of grievance groups. And so now, the Pentagon said Thursday was ending the ban on transgendered people being able to serve in the U.S. military. What will be next? Where do we go from here? I shudder to think about it if Hillary Clinton is elected. But on this 4th of July, I ask that you go to our website tomorrow. I'm going to post that version of My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Watch that inspirational video. Let your mind slip back to a time when this nation actually attempted to realize her promise. And remember that God hears the prayers of righteous men. And we want you to enjoy a wonderful holiday with your family. I actually got a text, Eddie, today, a text message from one of our friends and supporters in Arkansas. He's having a family barbecue. He's having a family barbecue at his house in Arkansas on the 4th of July. They're going to go fishing. They're going to have a fireworks show. He's going to read the Declaration of Independence to the people that are gathered there. He's going to share the story of Fort McHenry, which is where we get our Star Spangled Banner. Now, that is a righteous 4th of July celebration. If you can do something like that where you're honoring the Founding Fathers, you're honoring the America of 1776, the America that existed to the fall of the Confederacy, let's honor and revere that country. That country is worthy of honor. This country is not.
As for me and my household, we will obey the Lord. You know, that just, you have warmed my heart so much. I know exactly who you're talking about. We met him at the political cesspool birthday party. What an outstanding citizen. I mean.
And these are the people that make up this show.
That's right. What a stellar man. You know what? I don't know anybody that's done anything like that.
I would love to go to that. He actually invited me. It's a 4-hour drive, and I committed to spend time with my parents, and or else I would be there. That is a great 4th of July.
Man.
A barbecue, go fishing, have a fireworks show. But while you're doing that, you don't celebrate this horrible country that we have now. You celebrate the Declaration of Independence. You remember the sacrifice of those great people. You remember the story of Fort McHenry. I bet you can't find, you go to any of these fireworks displays in any of these cities, you ask them what Fort McHenry was, not one of them's going to know about it. So this is you're going to celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow, and I will. I'm going to go out and shoot fireworks, and we're going to do something similar. We're going to remember what's worthy of remembrance, but that's the way you should celebrate the 4th of July.
Well, you're right. Well, we'll hear the music. We're going to come up. Pick up where we left off as soon as the music comes ends. Until we come back from our break.
Spit it out, Eddie. Spit it out. We'll be back, folks. Thank you.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honeydew items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. M-E-M-O-T-O-M-E.com. Memo to Me.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Amazing time it must have been to be an American when those hymns were being sung from churches and schools and everywhere in between. Eddie the Bombardier wants to encourage everyone to read the Mayflower Compact this holiday weekend, and that's a good one too. You know, I was talking in the last segment, love the country, love the people, our people. The flag is just a symbol. Unfortunately, the American flag now stands and has really for a long, long time for a very corrupt and anti-American government. Our government is anti-American, and that's what we lament here on this 4th of July. Michael Perutka wrote something I want to read. It seems like for most of the show I've been reading other people's articles. Well, sometimes people get it so right
one
you can't improve upon it. Yeah,
one
go
quick
Eddie.
Point. I know we hammer this all the time, but not only the government. If the foundations become destroyed, what will the people do? The foundations of this nation have been the churches, and even the churches are being infiltrated, becoming corrupt. The churches are becoming like society. You know, like James said earlier, you should be in the world, but not of the world. The churches now, and I know we said this 1,000 times, but since we're coming up Independence Day, I'll lay this right at the foot of not only the people, the families, grounding their children, should be homeschooling, but the blame is right at the churches that are leading the way into debauchery, James.
And there are still some righteous churches out there. I talked to you about this earlier before the show started in the green room here at the studio. A lot of Southern Baptist churches completely disaffiliated. Some even voted unanimously to leave the Southern Baptist Convention after those horrible resolutions were passed at the convention in St. Louis for the Southern Baptist a couple of weeks ago, and we've been covering that extensively. But a little update, there has been blowback to that. Churches are leaving, and they're just going to be independent Baptist churches now, which they should be.
Follow the money. Take the money away from them, and the suckers will come back to their senses.
Exactly what Keith said last week. Michael Perutka, who has appeared on this radio program in the past. He was formerly the presidential nominee for the Constitution Party. He is now an elected official in Maryland for a city council or a county council seat. He wrote one of the best books I've ever read about the 4th of July. Tonight, and then we're going to let Eddie take over. Michael Perutka, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, and listen intently. This really says it all and really captures my feelings on the 4th of July. The 4th of July has become a bittersweet celebration for me. Of course, I'm thankful to God for our courageous and self-sacrificing founders and for their clarity of purpose and expression springing from their faith in Christ as ruler and sustainer of the universe. Moreover, I marvel at the mercy of a loving God who has been so patient with a country that has so squandered its birthright and turned its back on his law and even the acknowledgement of his existence. I am most grateful for his mercy, though I can't conceive or measure it, yet I know his patience is not unlimited. My sadness has two sources. One is the knowledge that as a people, we've blown it. Our civil leaders are worse than corrupt. They represent a perversion of government, a perversion of the law and the language of liberty. They call good evil and evil good. Our Supreme Court makes it up as they go along. Our law teaches anti-law. Our judges, almost exclusively, are ignorant fools that think there is no God or think that they are God. We will kill our own young for the sake of convenience. While Christians, God's people, sit around and fiddle and in some cases aid and abet their overlords.
James Thomas Jefferson, I want to cut you off. Thomas Jefferson says almost the same thing. You know, people always say Thomas Jefferson was an atheist or a deist. Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country because I know we have a just and a righteous God, a merciful God. But his justice, his right, you know, his anger will not be held forever. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing this, but he says his anger will not be stayed. His justice will not be stayed forever. He's going to come down in this country and it's going to be, there's going to be hell to pay. And Michael Perutka is absolutely right. You know, I didn't mean to cut you off, son, but I got kind of worked up there.
Well, he's talking that the American people have blown it in large part. His second sadness comes from the historical proximity of the defeat of our American forces at Gettysburg. I want you to think about how he worded that. Michael Perutka, his sadness comes this 4th of July from the historical proximity of the defeat of our American forces at Gettysburg. On the 4th of July, 1863, after 3 days of brutal and desperate fighting to defend and preserve the American way of life, American soldiers retreated through the rain in Frederick, Maryland, and slipped back across the Potomac River to the relative safety of Virginia. I wonder what Independence Day thoughts went through their minds, the minds of these men as they marched away from that horrific scene where they and their brethren had sacrificed life and limb for the cause of American independence. What a singular faith and courage led them to continue the struggle to defend America from that growing tyrant after their defeat in Gettysburg. Though most people living in America don't realize that the Army of Northern Virginia was the last force capable of countermanding the centralized tyranny that had, more than 142 years ago, succeeded in undermining the concept of the Constitutional Republic. When Lee lost at Gettysburg, no earthly force remained that could stand against the Washington Leviathan. This growing monster would eventually murder 50 million innocent American babies, would send our daughters and sisters, along with our sons and brothers, off to die stupidly and needlessly in wars to satisfy its lust for blood and power, would undermine the father of families and seek dominion over our children, would stare at us at every street corner with its cyclops eye to make sure we have our seatbelts buckled, would number and monitor us, would drug our children to make sure they grow up, without any idea of what liberty means or any knowledge of the true source of law and liberty in government. After Gettysburg, the trouble became one in which Lincoln's general waged total war against the women and children of the South, burning and destroying all in their path. During this time, Grant sacrificed thousands of his own men for the sake of consolidating power in Washington, the same power that would one day be used at Ruby Ridge in Waco. As I sit in a picturesque sitting among a cadre of well-to-do folks on the eastern shore of Maryland, waiting for the fireworks to begin. I wonder how many of these wealthy people realize where America's real wealth comes from. Do they even know what the fireworks signify? That's talking about Fort McHenry. Do they teach their children what America stands for, what a patriotic American won't stand for? As I said, most people living in America might not see the connection between the defeat of Lee and Longstreet and Pickett and Armistead at Gettysburg and the death of 50 million babies. Most people wouldn't understand. In large measure, this is because most people in America have been led to believe that America won that war. But the evidence is more and more clear to me that America and our Constitution lost that war. An American would know that the reason we celebrate America's birth is that America, as Chesterton said, was founded on a creed. The Declaration of Independence predicates America's right to exist on the belief that God exists, that our rights come from Him, and that the purpose of the government is to protect and defend these rights. I wonder how many of these fireworks watchers, or for that matter, how many people living in America are, in fact, even Americans at all. That is, I wonder how many of them know what an American believes, or how many of them teach these beliefs to their children or grandchildren. It seems that most of them don't, and I'm suggesting that this is traceable to the fact that as a conquered people, they have been re-educated by a foreign power away from the very beliefs on which America founded and prospered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so much for the sadness, Prutka concludes. My joy comes from the realization that the profound truth of something that was succinctly and eloquently expressed by my son will make you feel better. He looked at me and said cheerfully, "Don't worry, Dad, you're still God's child." Thank you, son, you're correct. On the 4th of July, God is still our father, and he's still in charge. That's why we must continue to give thanks and continue to do our duty. That's Michael Prutka. What an article entitled Fireworks Gettysburg and a Bittersweet 4th of July. We'll let Eddie crack into that after the break.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Following last week's Brexit vote in England, markets on both sides of the Atlantic plunged, which prompted defenders of the EU to claim that British withdrawal would lead to a global economic catastrophe. Within a few days, however, the markets recovered. But this was not described by the same commentators as an endorsement of British independence. New York Post economic commentator John Crudell insists that what actually happened is that the stock markets were rescued by governments. In other words, the markets were rigged. Crudell points to statements by German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble prior to the vote that EU and the G7 policymakers, quote, have safeguards in place to avoid chaotic developments should Britons vote to leave the bloc. The rigging of the stock market shouldn't surprise anyone, Crudell comments. I've been telling you that this has been going on for a long time. The Japanese and the Chinese are blatant about their market manipulation. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, the FBI and Justice Department have instructed local law enforcement agencies in Florida to deny all public records requests for information about the Orlando nightclub murders, reports the Orlando Sentinel. When the newspaper requested documents, including video and audio recordings, dealing with the massacre from the Seminole County Sheriff's Office, they were given a copy of a letter sent to the sheriff by the FBI instructing him, quote, immediately to notify the FBI of any requests your agency received so the FBI can seek to prevent disclosure through appropriate channels as necessary. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I don't want to borrow the much-used phrase, but it's still possible with God's help to make America great again. I don't know if Donald Trump's going to be the one that does it, but it can be made great again. God can do it, and he will do it through us if we look to him for guidance and sustenance. And so this is where we're at. It's, as Michael Perutka wrote, a bittersweet 4th of July. We love what this country stood for at its inception. We love the memory of an America that was righteous and pure. What America has become now is just a shame. It's just a shame. But we do love our people. We do love this country because God gave it to us. America is a gift from God to his people. So we do love America. We do love our people. But this government has just got to go, and there's just nothing else I can say about that. Anyway, Eddie, you listened as I read off from Michael Perutka's incredible article, and I know that you have a lot to say in response to that.
Michael Perutka is brilliant. I almost hate to follow up behind that guy. I mean, he's just so brilliant. I mean, he's a brilliant attorney. He's a great Christian. He's just a brilliant man. But I had so many thoughts going through my heart and mind when you read that. I thought about, for instance, you remarked about, Fort McHenry. I was thinking about the Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase, who said that, states' rights died at Appomattox. Our Christian way of life died at Appomattox. You know, me and James had a show, I think, last year, and we talked about it again, about what General Jackson said. And General Jackson could have been giving Michael Perutka's speech. Michael Perutka could have been writing General Jackson's talk. General Jackson said a lot of things, same things that Perutka said. It's come true. Jackson was almost like a clairvoyant. He predicted. He said that if we lose this war, if we lose the war of Southern independence against the British, against the North, our children would be educated by Northern teachers with Northern textbooks that would be, denigrating our great people, our great ancestors there in the South. That's exactly what happened. I mean, look around at his people. Look how filthy the government is right now. We talked about this tonight. We're giving transgenders, whatever in Christ that is, into the military. It's like a nightmare. And Sam said, we were talking about during the break, he said that God can use Donald Trump. He can use anybody. God raised up Pharaoh. It's in the Old Testament. Go into Genesis.
That's a great point. And by the way, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
James Dobson, talking about how God can raise up people in a righteous way. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, which is...
I like him.
As we are, and as the political cesspool is, Focus on the Family is a certified hate group, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And
probably Southern Baptist Commission, probably.
Well, they're way too good. But anyway, Focus on the Family is a hate group, according to Southern Poverty Law Center.
My mic was turned off. I turned off my
I thought it was him.
I turned my mic off a second ago. I'm sorry. I interrupted Eddie. I turned off my mic because I was checking something in the studio and I didn't want it to go out over the air. I interrupted Eddie a moment ago. That was totally my fault. I get emails from time to time saying, hey, what went on? What happened with the show, that snafu? What's going on with the network? Listen, if there's ever a problem, this is what I'm about to remind you. If there is ever a problem that technical glitch or some snafu that manifests itself on the show during the live broadcast, I promise you it is a local problem. If it wasn't for Sam coming into my ear as our engineer and producer, I would have kept on rolling not knowing my mic was off. I turned my mic off just a second ago while Eddie was talking and forgot to turn it back on. But anyway, Anytime there's a glitch, it's on this end. I can promise you it's not coming from Utah. It's coming from Memphis. But I interrupted Eddie a moment ago. We were talking about how God can raise up someone to do his
will. Pharaoh.
He raised up Pharaoh. He can raise up Trump. And I was saying James Dobson.
He raised up the king of Syria.
James Dobson and Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family is a certified hate group, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, as the political cesspool is and as I am. I'm a certified hater. This is a certified hate group. I don't know how a radio show made up of three or four people. Well, there's about 10 of us total in the staff can be a hate group. But anyway, we're a hate group. Focus on the Family is a hate group. Talk about God raising up people to do his will. James Dobson made big news this week saying that he knows that Donald Trump came to be a born-again Christian within recent weeks and that he is a baby Christian.
Wow.
But that he knows on firsthand,
I'm tingling,
from firsthand knowledge that Donald Trump prayed the prayer of repentance and became a born-again Christian. Now, this is James Dobson saying...
Man, my back's tingling, James.
This is James Dobson saying that. Trump has not mentioned it publicly, and it has not been... I don't even think they've even asked him. But James Dobson, the head of Focus on the Family, one of the biggest evangelical leaders in the country, who is a member, who is a hate group, and so you know he's got to be good if he's a SPLC-certified hate group. He's one of the Christians supporting Trump, and he... It was a big story in the Washington Post, and other media around the world picked up on it, too, saying that Donald Trump is, in fact, has become recently a Christian. So we'll see.
Listen, when I became a Christian, February the 8th.
Late in your life also.
Late, very.
Well, exactly. You were about to tell the date.
February the 8th of 2009. It took me about a week or two to tell my pastor. I guess I won't read his name. Tell him I would love to. I love that man. God worked through him to save my sorry soul. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about, Jackson, Michael Peruca, Samuel Chase, they all set voice pretty much the same thing. This country, and I'm going to hit something that really set me off like a time bomb yesterday, and I could have gotten in trouble for it, but thank God it didn't. I'm going to keep it down.
He's saying he could have gotten in trouble because if he had acted on his anger, he could have gotten in trouble. But something happened here in Memphis that got Eddie upset.
And this leads to what we're talking about, how corrupt. The corruption goes, like Peruca said, like everything Jackson said, that he foresaw is happening now. And Michael Peruca was writing about what is happening right now when General Stonewall Jackson foresaw it in the future. All right. We just got through having breaking news that Hillary Clinton, what a shocker, she's not going to be indicted for the 100,000 crimes she's committed. I mean, read the evidence there. I mean, just if you don't read anything else, read the mysterious death of Vince Foster. Read the Clinton Chronicles. I mean, they're the most corrupt people. Nero was no more corrupt than these people. Here's what's so pitiful. From the very top, the President of the United States, the Supreme Court justices, they commit crimes. There's no crime they can commit that they're prosecuted for. And this is what I'm going to get to. It goes all the way down to our lowly congressmen, to our state congressmen and senators. And it even goes down to these bureaucrats that I absolutely despise. James's beautiful wife, Danny, has probably corrected me, rightfully so. Yeah, I am a Christian, but I'm not perfect. And I will have to tell you that I do have hatred in my heart for some people.
What you mean to say?
Righteous anger.
There you go.
A righteous anger for these
Christ
people.
Christ had righteous anger when he drove out the money changers. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a God-spilled.
And I'm going to call the sheriffs on the carpet too, James. Listen, this is what happened here in Memphis, Tennessee. This is what I'm talking about the corruption, the unbelievable corruption going on in the government. From the very height, from the President of the United States, all the way down to the lowest criminal bureaucrat on the totem pole, the TSA. This happens every day, but what's really close to my heart is you people out there know I'm a St. Jude hero. You talk about St. Jude in a bad way, you're muddy in my creek, buddy. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's a 19-year-old girl who's being treated. James, incidentally, James sent this story to me.
Well, our local station manager sent it to me.
And James probably would not have sent it to me if he'd known I was going to do what I did. But, listen, the girl's been treated here at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital since she was 2 years old. She's had a brain tumor taken out of her head. She's partially paralyzed. She's deaf. She's blind in one eye. She's unstable on her feet. She's retarded from the... I mean, if somebody cuts into your brain, takes half your brain out, people, you're going to be retarded. She's going through the airport here in Memphis, Tennessee, and the TSA people start getting rough with her. Well, naturally, since she's getting confused, she's a little retarded girl, she freaks out. The mother tries to explain to these TSA Neanderthal criminal thugs what the story is with the daughter. They don't listen. They threaten to just arrest the mother. They segregate the mother from the little 19-year-old. They proceed to slam her head. This is a girl who had an operation for a brain tumor. They slam her head into the concrete. You can pull this picture up. James and Keith showed it to me when I came into the studio. The woman has blood all over her face, a crack in her head. She's bleeding profusely. She's crying. She doesn't know what the hell's going on. They arrest the 19-year-old girl, take her downtown, threaten to arrest the mother, and guess what? They don't prefer charges. Well, I'm going to talk about this when we come back. We're not through with this story. We'll wrap it up when we come back from the break, but I'm going to slam the rotten...
All right,
sure.
Well, let's take a break, and then we'll let you gather yourself. And we'll
okay,
it
won't take. But a
I'll
few
reset
minutes.
The story when we come back, and give it to you without the dispassionately. All right, we'll be back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Excuse the slobber, y'all.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Thank you.
How inspirational. How inspirational. My goodness. Well, what we were talking about before that last break, and I'll make this recap quick. So there's a 19-year-old woman who, since she was 2 years old, for 17 years, she's been traveling to Memphis to receive treatment for her cancer at St. Jude. She's had a brain tumor. As you know, Eddie is very near and dear to St. Jude. He raises money for them as a volunteer, and this is why he runs all of his marathons. Well, when they were traveling back home this week, going through the Memphis airport to catch their flight home, as Eddie mentioned, this woman, through all of her treatments and illnesses, is partially blind and deaf, and she's paralyzed, and also there's some mental issues there as a result of all this, and God bless her. Well, obviously, when she starts getting groped by the TSA people, she panics and tries to get away, and she tries to get up and stagger away. She's scared. She's confused. And the mother is explaining to these people what's going on, but rather than listen to reason, they tackle this 19-year-old handicapped lady who's now 19, has been receiving treatment here in Memphis for 17 years since she was 2 years old, been battling this. And then she gets tackled to the floor. This made the local news. This should be national news. She's bloodied and bruised. They send her to jail for the night. And anyway, they let her out, and then the TSA or the authorities decide that they're not going to press charges against this woman. And the parents or the mother of this woman, her 19-year-old handicapped daughter, they are suing the airport police, the TSA, and I believe maybe the city of Memphis. But only for $100,000. Only for $100,000. You get $1 million for spilling coffee on your lap.
Now, let me chime in here, James.
Let me tell you quickly, because I want to move on.
Okay, let me get this quick.
The reason we're bringing this up is you're talking about corruption. The highest level, from Loretta Lynch to Hillary Clinton, all the way down to the local.
Stonewall Jackson predicted.
All the way down to the local law enforcement.
And here's what you need to do. You need to insist that your sheriffs, your county sheriffs, and Sam will agree with me this, the highest elected law enforcement officer in the county, he has the powers. He can arrest IRS agents. He can arrest the FBI. He can arrest every John Doe. In every airport in these here United States, we need to have at least one deputy. Preferably two sheriff's deputies should be in the airports of the United States to make sure these thugs don't assault the citizens of the country. That's just basic, man.
You would think that the TSA would have better sense than to attack this with someone like that. Anyway, surely you had to know. She's in a wheelchair. I don't know how much of a threat she's going to be, but I guarantee you this. If she'd walked in a hijab, if she's covered in this Muslim garb where you can only see the slits of her eyes, she'd have sailed right on through that checkpoint. Right.
And you don't sue these clowns. Like I would suggest, if I could speak to the sheriff, I would say, you don't sue these clowns. You arrest these people. You arrest them. They have assaulted this lady. She may die. She could get a metastasis of the cancer from the brain.
We don't know her condition, but I'm just saying.
You need to arrest these people and put them in jail. You don't sue them, for Christ's sake.
This is the latest example of TSA rogue authority run amok. This may be the most egregious
example.
With it.
Hillary Clinton, all the way down. Just like Michael Perdica was pointing out, we live in just a wasteland, worse than a cesspool of injustice.
That's
and
why
corruption.
This show is the political cesspool, because we have to wade in it and drain it every night, every week, and it believe me, it fills up.
Hold
quick.
Your sheriffs to the feet to the fire. Now that's it.
One thing here, very quickly, we may have covered this a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember. There's just so much to cover every week now. I don't know what we talk about, but I just hope you like it. But Donald Trump revoked the press credentials for the Washington Post, and we made a few news stories here in recent days because of that. The media complaining, the Washington Post pouting, the media complaining that, hey, he revoked the Washington Post, but he gave credentials to James Edwards. One story, the Trump
Smart
campaign
dude.
Has repeatedly banned reporters from across the political spectrum from attending Trump events. The campaign has, however, provided credentials to disreputable media like white nationalist radio host James Edwards. It went on to talk about how Trump plans to open the libel laws against the media and retaliate against the media with the power of the government if he is elected. I prayed
hear,
this
hear.
Prayer.
Hear,
I said,
hear.
Dear Lord, I pray that if Trump accomplishes one thing beyond building the wall, it's that he opens up the libel laws that cloak these disgusting maggots in the press and retaliates against them with the full power that the president can.
Hit the commercial appeal first.
The Washington Post editor said that Trump's decision was nothing less than a repudiation of the role of a free and independent press. Now, surely the editor of the Washington Post knows that his newspaper is everything but a part of a free and independent press. It is a vomitous mouthpiece for the regime it lacks any semblance of objectivity or diversity of thought. The Washington Post is a perfect representation of how disgusting and evil and pathetic our media has become. Another story writing all of the people Trump has banned from covering his events from a capacity of press. Still, the campaign did manage to acknowledge James Edwards and his white supremacist show, The Political Cesspool, which attained credentials for an event in Memphis. Another article here, that's the second one, a third one. Why does Trump persist in this racist crusade? Because he isn't going after mainstream Republican voters. He's going after the racists. Need proof? You could look at the dizzying number of white supremacist endorsements Trump has received since the beginning of his campaign, or the press credentials he granted to James Edwards.
James, define a white supremacist. What is a white supremacist?
Someone
James?
Who doesn't hate white people. A prominent broadcaster in the white nationalist community. Or the interview that Donald Trump Jr. gave to Edwards. So this is why, despite the weak denunciations from the Republican mainstream, Trump's blatant race baiting makes sense. These are his people. All right, so cry me a river, folks. Trump's going to win, and something tells me you're going to have a lot more to whine about in the future.
And then whine and bellyache about their, you know, they'll probably talk about their so-called precious First Amendment. You know, what about the Second Amendment? How many clowns out there are sticking, at least in the mainstream media, are sticking out for the Second Amendment? But I'm going to tell
you
what.
They don't even stack up for the First Amendment unless it's for them.
That's
they
right.
don't stand up for
Absolutely.
Our First Amendment.
That's right.
They smear us as
That's
everything
right.
but
say
one of God's
the newspapers. I say tax the newspapers out of existence. But you know what? And still, it's ours. But you know what? I tell you what. All you people complaining out there, you GOPs, that you're going to try to denounce Trump, good, get that good. I hope you denounce him loud and clear. That way we'll know we're going to clear your tails out of Washington, D.C. We are going to get a white nationalist elected as the president. We're going to get a white nationalist Congress here. And you know what? If I'm a white supremacist, great. I think I am. You know what? Show me one black hospital built in the United States. Show me one black hospital built anywhere in the world. Show me one black university that was built by blacks, not built by a bunch of Zionist Jews. Show me anything like that, and I will say, well, maybe I shouldn't be a white supremacist, but I am so proud of being white. Like James always says, I feel like I won the genetic lottery by being born white. Anything that's ever been done worth doing in this entire world was done by the white people. And
white
our
people
Chinese
have been,
brothers copy. They're great at copying
they
and making
been,
junk.
Our people have been a boon to all of humanity.
Sure
I don't
have.
Like the term at all white nationalist. I don't consider myself to be that because the media uses it interchangeably with white supremacist. I don't consider myself to be a white nationalist. I consider myself to be a Christian.
Don't let them co-opt our terms, James.
Well, I've never used that term for myself. And I don't think Donald Trump's a white nationalist. I think Donald Trump's a guy with common sense, and that's all you need. You just need our people with common sense. And you need people with common sense to be put into positions of power that will rule fairly for all people.
And I say it's not common sense if you hate your own people, and if you bring people in your own nest and you neuter other races other than your own
people.
And
we are not, you know, listen, we are proud of who we are. We're
yes,
proud
we
of what our people have done. I don't consider ourselves
We
being
love
white
our people first, James.
And certainly not white supremacists, and I don't consider this show to be that either. And we've talked about that many, many, many times.
We just love our people
and
first.
People
and
people can
foremost.
Use these terms differently. I mean, some people, you can say, well, what's wrong? We are white, we are nationalists. Well, again, it's just the context. People think that's a militant, dangerous, scary thing, and so I don't like to use that term. But anyway, I do want to say this to our audience before we go, and we only have a minute left, but the audience, I want to thank everybody. We have to get this out there. I want to thank everybody who contributed to this show in June. You're going to receive a gift package from us in the mail next week. All the letters, we normally spend time each week during a month. We're holding one of our quarterly fundraising drives to thank the people from the different cities who have contributed. We haven't even had time to do that, but I want to tell you, we got a postcard here from a listener in London who sent us a postcard from the Sistine Chapel in Vatican City, and we just got a great audience. Eddie, you want to read something, but unless you can read that in 10 seconds, I just want to tell your audience, we love you.
We do love you.
Happy 4th of July, and thank you for your support. Thank you for letting us continue to be a catalyst in changing things for the better. It's not in vain. We're reaching the hearts and minds of our people. Thanks.
Pray for us. Pray for us.
But when we come back next week, you're going to read that piece of paper.
I'm going to read it. Hell or hot water next week.
Eddie's been trying to read a piece of paper for 2 hours now at that time. But we love you, folks. Happy 4th of July. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
www.thepoliticalcesspool.org